This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, it's hour one on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Come on in, stay a while. T.J. Watt of the Steelers joining us a little bit later on. Also, the Rams radio analyst Maurice Jones-Drew, former NFL running back, will join us as well. Phone calls, always welcome. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle, @DPShow. Poll question, play of the day, stat of the day, all of that forthcoming. Front row joining me here in the man cave. Fritzy still joining us via Zoom. And it looks like you've got a Cowboys Stadium issue with the lighting there at home. Do you have some sunlight there on you, Todd?
I do. I have a mirror, a window here with no curtains, I guess would be the word I'm looking for. And I tried to stack a bunch of books and put some things up, but hopefully in the next few minutes, the sun will move out of the way and not cause this little partial glare.
Did Jerry Jones design your house? Is that
he
what
he may have?
Yes.
He may have. That corner there, the sun's just taking a little bit longer to get out of the upper right crest of that window.
Yes, Paul.
I like that. First of all, it's the sun's fault. And secondly, Todd will rather wait out the sun than put up some type of blanket or sheet.
We miss you.
I miss you too. Missed me Friday. It's not fun. It's much more enjoyable being with you guys in there.
But you have a limerick today.
I do have a limerick. Yeah, Tuesday.
Why don't we start people's Tuesday off on a great note? How about it?
We can do that.
Okay.
I think we should.
Here we go.
This is off the Rams Cardinals game last night.
Oh, okay.
How's this? Is this better? Is this a better shot? I'm moving around. Okay, 21-0 was the halftime score. Kyler and the Cardinals' effort was poor. The Rams went all in. Stafford's first playoff win. Birdseed scattered across SoFi's floor.
All right. It starts us off.
Serviceable.
Let's go.
Let's get going.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Last night, the Rams dominated the Cardinals. Rams offense looked really good. Defense made life really uncomfortable for Kyler Murray. And the Rams are a talented group. When you watch them play last night, that's when you remind yourself, oh, that's right, that's how they should be playing, where you have an elite quarterback, you got a pretty good running game, you got a couple of really good wide receivers, you got the best defensive lineman in the game, you got the best defensive back in the game, and you got an edge rusher who's going to go to the Hall of Fame in Von Miller. But Matthew Stafford threw for just 6 touchdowns and 7 interceptions over his final 3 games. And we started to wonder, what are we going to get with Matthew Stafford? Now, there's a difference between big numbers and good numbers. Stafford had good numbers last night. Not big numbers, good numbers. He showed up when it mattered most. But this really feels like the offensive philosophy the Rams should have. A lot of time, what happens is you get caught up in, we want to be dynamic. We want to be offensive geniuses. Sean McVay, he's innovative. Then you want to get out there and start throwing the football. Well, I go back to Brian Billick. Brian Billick was with the Ravens. And he had, of course, one of the great defenses of all time. We had an average quarterback, but he's an offensive-minded guy. He was an offensive genius. Well, he didn't get credit. It's really the Ravens' defense got all the credit, and rightfully so. You didn't really need much offense. In fact, I think Ray Lewis once said, give us 10 points on offense, we'll win the game. But the Rams' defense, with Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, Von Miller, they made some plays. And now you turn your attention to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Bucs have already lost to L.A. once this year. They may not have an answer for Cooper Kupp or Odell Beckham. I don't think they're going to have an answer for Aaron Donald, but then who does? And then the Buccaneers could be without their Pro Bowl tackle, Tristan Wirfs. And if that's the case, advantage Rams. But you don't want to bet against Tom Brady. The Rams, if they play the way they did last night in Tampa, they're going to be a tough out. Absolutely. We'll come up with a poll question. I think Paulie's doing the honors today.
Yeah, I got a Fritzy one from this morning. Okay. Do you have a lesser opinion of Kyler Murray after last night's game? Yes or no? How could you not? Or is it, do you say like, well, one playoff game does not erase a pretty good start to a career?
Well, I have concerns about Cliff Kingsbury. I have more concerns about Cliff Kingsbury than I do Kyler Murray. Now, keep in mind, I can find articles from 2 months ago where Cliff Kingsbury, coach of the year, question mark, oh, he's flirting with Oklahoma, you better lock him up. And I went, he's not going to Oklahoma. He wants to get a pay raise. And his teams historically are horrible to end the season. From the Action Network, the following. In Texas Tech, his career there as a head coach. In 2013, they lost 5 of the last 6 games they played. In 2014, lost 4 of the last 6. In 2015, lost 4 of the last 6. In 2016, lost 6 of the last 8 games. In 2017, 6 of the last 8 games. In 2018, lost 5 of the last 5 games. With the Cardinals in 2019, lost 7 of the last 9 games. 2020, lost 5 of the last 7 games. And then this year, lost 5 of the last 6.
Stat of the day, stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day.
Other than that, Cardinals season was really good. You know, you don't have DeAndre Hopkins. Okay, that's big. Everybody dealt with injuries. You know, the Titans had more players on their roster playing a game this year due to injury and COVID than any team in NFL history. And they have the number one seed. Tampa's had injuries. They lost Chris Godwin. Now, Antonio Brown went AWOL. Like, every team has this. You lose a star player, a good player. Now what do you do? Arizona didn't adjust. It's tough replacing DeAndre Hopkins. He's an A-plus wide receiver. But you got to find other ways to win. And it feels like the NFL figures out the Cardinals later in the season. And then that was part of the problem where I'm watching this team and I'm curious, okay, now what do you do? I mean, Kyler Murray wasn't even a threat. It's 6 yards. Rams rush for over 140. But you look at Arizona, okay, got some defensive players there. You have to adjust. When you're not playing your best, can you win a game? And you see this every single year in the playoffs. There will be a team that will advance and not play a great game. But last night, the Rams were the better team. Now they move on. Started out Buccaneers favored by 2.5. And then it went up to 3. I think that's where it is right now. This program brought to you by Impeller. Empower your investment portfolio with opportunities in Puerto Rico. Impeller, new online tool connecting investors with innovative projects on the island, available now. Impeller, your hub for investment opportunities in Puerto Rico. Learn more at investpr.org/impeller. All right, so the Kyler Murray poll question.
I have a couple more for you to peruse.
All right.
When Monday Night Football becomes a blowout, you know, playoffs or other, you switch over to Peyton Eli. You're already on Peyton and Eli. You keep it on the regular broadcast with Greasy and those guys, or you tune the game out altogether. And then here's one more. This is mine. Yeah. Which team this weekend felt the least playoff-ish? Like how does that team in the playoffs? Raiders, Patriots, Eagles, Cowboys, Steelers, Cardinals. Which team felt the least playoff-ish?
I would say the Cardinals. The Steelers had some star power. And you still have Ben there, and you have TJ Watt. The Eagles didn't. I would go Eagles, Cardinals, Steelers. Only because you had Ben and the Swan Song, and you have TJ Watt. Yes, yeah,
you got to put the Patriots up there somewhere. They got humiliated.
Well, no, but are you talking about before, like the end result?
Well, like which team, when you look at the performance they put up this weekend, said, how the heck did they get in the playoffs?
Well, I still thought that the Patriots were a good team, thought they'd be a playoff team. They didn't look like a playoff team, but Eagles didn't look like a playoff team. Steelers didn't look like a playoff team. You know, the Cowboys put up a good fight. I wouldn't put the Cowboys on that list. Yes, Eden.
That's why when you look at the remaining teams, you've really kind of weeded through like the haves and the have-nots. Like pretty much every team that's remained is going to sound so stupid, but it's pretty incredible.
Well, thank you, McLovin.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you.
Sometimes the words are starting to formulate in your head. You're like, this is going to sound so stupid.
Yeah, I do that numerous times every morning. It feels like you got these heavyweights, and then you have the Bengals against the Titans. And even though the Bengals are really exciting to watch, it doesn't feel like that has that heavyweight showdown, like, wow, that's going to be unbelievable.
Packers 49ers, you're like, heck yeah.
That's going to be a knockdown drag out. The Rams against the Buccaneers, the Bills against the Chiefs, and then you go
Titans, Bengals.
Even though the Titans have the number one seed and you get Derrick Henry back. Yeah, Paul.
I love the Titans team. I love them at home. I don't love their quarterback in any way. He's a nice quarterback. He doesn't feel like Tannehill. Doesn't he not feel like, you can't picture him in a Super Bowl. I could picture Joe Burrow in a Super Bowl this year more than I can Tannehill. And that's not an offense of the Titans. It's just Tannehill doesn't seem like that threatening. Of course, he'll throw for 300 this weekend.
Well, I don't know. If he's never been a numbers guy. It's just, can you be good enough to complement Derrick Henry and that defense? But I don't even know how much Derrick Henry is going to play. I think that's really the key, is how much can you load him up and say, all right, now go out there and try to win. You know, the Bengals are really banged up on the defensive side of the ball, defensive front. And if you have Derrick Henry, that's a big advantage there, obviously. All right. Any other poll questions there, Paulie?
That's it for now.
No. Oh. Okay. By the way, Bengal fans, go to danpatrick.com. We have a new T-shirt there to honor you. Yes, Eden.
Had some fun with the copy there.
I didn't even read the copy. I know that you are responsible.
Threw up a new shirt on the site.
Yeah.
Perfect for guys and Bengals. No?
All your friends will want to burrow it.
Yeah. Don't chase your tail. Yeah, that's why I didn't read the copy. We were trying to move some product here, Seton. That doesn't make you go, man, I'm curious. I'm going to the website right now.
Unlike that chili place, there's only one way to buy this shirt.
DanPatrick.com. Let us know what you think. Let's see. Sean in California leads us off early. Hey, Sean, what's on your mind?
Hey, DP. It is pitch black here in Sacramento. I'm on a morning walk, and longtime Cardinals fan. I need you to answer a question for me about Cliff Kingsbury. I just don't know if he's the right fit to get the Cardinals to the next level. It seems like Kyler, you know, while brilliant in some of the things that he does, you know, under pressure down the stretch, kind of falls apart, as does Cliff. If you look at his time at Texas Tech and through the Cardinals back half of the season, He just can't get the job done. So, honest opinion from you to talk me off the ledge, is Kliff going to be the answer going forward for the Cardinals? Thanks.
Well, I can't say he's going to be the answer when I didn't think he was the answer to begin with. Now, he looks like the guy who would play a coach in a movie, but I'm not sold on him. He wasn't a winning coach in college, and then you get the job in the NFL because of your relationship with Kyler Murray. USC was going to have him run their offense. They signed him. He was there for a couple of days. But it feels like he's more of a coordinator than he is a head coach. But, you know, I didn't think they had enough weapons. I didn't think they could score enough points against the Rams last night. Said that yesterday on the show. And they don't. They don't have a threatening offense there. You know, Kyler Murray has got to – if you don't have DeAndre Hopkins, then you have to really rely on Kyler Murray to use his legs to beat you. But the Rams were great last night. I mean, give them credit. You push up the middle – they did a great job, and I think that it's easy to criticize. We sometimes forget to compliment, and the Rams did what you want a really good team, a Super Bowl caliber team to do. My problem with the Rams, the same as the Cowboys, are they consistent enough? Can you do it 2 weeks in a row? Can you do it 3 weeks in a row? Can you win a game that maybe you're not supposed to? That's what I want to know. But if you beat Tampa, now all of a sudden you're going to get everybody's attention. But can you win? Can you win a game where Stafford doesn't play well or the defense gives up a lot of points? That happens. It's rare when a team just goes right through the playoffs, dominates. You know, no question whatsoever. You usually have one game that sort of hangs in the balance. All right, we'll get to more phone calls coming up. But no, Cardinal fans, I can't talk you down from the ledge because – I wouldn't have let you get up to the ledge to begin with. All right, we'll take a break here. Phone calls, play of the day, stat of the day, all of that forthcoming. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like Digging for Treasure or a Robot Pachinko Machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Let me bring in Maurice Jones-Drew, NFL Network analyst. He also does the Rams radio color analyst as well. You can follow him, Maurice Jones-Drew, on Twitter, at MJD. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, actually. I finally got a chance to call in and talk to you. It's been a while.
Yeah. I appreciate you getting up early after the game last night. What were your expectations last night?
I think there were two times that obviously this year the Rams split with the Cardinals. So you saw early in the year where the Cardinals were hot and defensively did a great job of, forcing Stafford off his spot and then, obviously getting interceptions. And then on their side of the ball that's early in the year, Kyler Murray kind of took over the game, utilizing his legs running. And then there was a second time where the Rams kind of dominated from start to finish. And so, was a little concerned when you saw J.J. Watt coming back and, defensively they've done a really good job. Vance Joseph's done a really good job of getting those guys in position to make plays. But if you watch the Cardinals down the stretch, they struggled the last five games. So expectation was if the Rams started fast, you probably could jump on them and, get them out and have a little doubt set in their mind there. And that's what they did. It really started from – the Rams defense, whose secondary was banged up. You're starting some guys that are Terrell Burgess, Nick Scott. Those are core special teams guys who end up starting as safety for the Rams. And kudos to Raheem Morris for getting those guys prepared and Eric Weddle coming in after retirement. To be honest with you, I told Sean McVay after the game, I kind of like joked around, but I was a little serious that if you guys keep getting retired guys, like, let me know so I can get in shape. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to go too far. I'm right here calling the games for you. I know the offense. I've been watching. Credit to those coaches and players for stepping up in a huge game and playing really well to get that first three and out and then get the ball and get some big explosive plays and then kind of start playing field position and go down and take the game over was huge.
How important is the running game for the Rams?
Oh, it's underrated, I think, because when you see Matthew Stafford and Odell and Cooper Kupp and those guys, like, you're like, oh, they got to throw the ball. But you have to understand that offensive line needs to go forward, and they need to be able to lean on guys. They're a bigger group. They love the zone scheme, and what it does is it allows that defense to kind of play on its heels a little bit with the play-action pass. And so – with the addition of Cam Akers, and like I said this last night, no disrespect to Sony Michel and Daryl Henderson, they did a really good job this year, but Cam Akers comes in, it looks different.
Yeah.
And if you watch that game, the Rams just look different with Cam Akers there with his explosiveness, his elusiveness, and then the way he finishes his runs. Like, he finishes like Sony Michel. And so when you got two guys that are going to run downhill and break tackles and run through guys, it takes its toll on the defense, as you saw last night. I'd also like to say this. I hope Buda Baker is okay. That was a big collision there. And there were a couple of them in that game. And, you know, you saw the Rams running backs fall forward. And so when you can run the ball the way the Rams did and you could utilize the play action pass, Matthew Stafford had a clean pocket pretty much all night. And so, and let's not forget that they have, you know, two premier pass rushers, possibly three, with Marcus Golden, Chandler Jones, and J.J. Watt there rushing the quarterback. And I don't think Stafford got touched all night. So that tells you how important that running game is.
How does this Rams team match up with the Buccaneers?
I think they match up well. I watched the Bucs last game. And before I like to call games, I try to go a couple games back just to see how they're playing. I know, obviously, they have a lot of injuries going on there. Obviously, the Antonio Brown situation. But, you know, they still have Gronkowski. You still have the GOAT, the greatest of all time, Tom Brady. You still have Mike Evans offensively. Supposedly, we'll see if they get Leonard Fournette back. But I think they match up well defensively for the Rams. They do a really good job of stopping the run. They have a guy that can lock up with Mike Evans. You're going to have to figure out a way how you're going to stop Gronkowski. And then offensively, you know, you know what the task is. And I think Todd Bowles and has done a great job. I think that, you know, they're going to come out and kind of play. Man, I was just listening to what you were saying about the Eagles not being the least ready team for the playoffs or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Look, you got to get off press, man, in the playoffs, right? People are going to be simple. They want to play fast. And if you're playing the Buccaneers, they're going to get in your face and try to beat you up a little bit. And you have to be able to protect. And so it's going to be a big part of the Rams getting that running game going and being able to protect so that you can get these receivers out in space and try to make some plays. So I think it's a good matchup for the Rams. But you got to go to Tampa. And that's always tough to do, to fly east to west and get out there and play a game in a different environment and climate.
Maurice Jones-Drew, NFL Network analyst and works for the Rams radio color analyst and former NFL running back. You could start your team with Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, Von Miller in his prime. All of them in their prime.
What do you want me to do, pick one?
Yep.
Oh, no, there's no way.
Why?
How can I pick one in their prime? They're all dominant in their prime. You pick one, and I'll start a team with them. Okay, how about this? Give me what the Rams have now, right? You see Von Miller show up big in the game. Aaron Donald shows up big. Jalen Ramsey's covering guys, making plays. It's tough to – I don't think you can lose with that in their prime, right?
Yeah, but I'm asking Von Miller, you're going to start your team. It's a fantasy draft.
It's tough, man. I would have to, you know, I'd have to say Aaron Donald then. I think interior pressure is the hardest thing for a quarterback to deal with. Now, you can double team him, yes, but still the guy dominates and changes games. We've seen double teams and triple teams. And, you know, it happens. Von Miller, great job off the edge when he was in his prime, but a quarterback can kind of step up if you don't have that pocket being pushed back to him. And then if you have Jalen Ramsey, yeah, he shuts down half of the field, but if the quarterback has 5 or 6 seconds to throw, it kind of takes that away from him. So I think they all work together, but if I was going to pick one, it'd be Aaron Donald.
Yeah,
with it.
That's the right – Aaron Donald's the right call. Yeah. He did all right there.
Trying to put me on the spot, man. You can't do that. You know, that's my job, man. I got to talk to those guys.
If they hear this,
I'm going to have to answer to it.
I never knew you to be afraid.
Oh, never. It's not about being afraid. It's just, you know, I don't like, back in the day when I was much younger, I loved confrontation. Now I'm as I get older and more wise, it's more about just enjoying the peace.
Oh,
peace of mind.
Okay. All right. If I said J.J. Watt or Aaron Donald in their prime.
Oh, I'm going to take Aaron Donald all day. I played J.J. Watt in his prime.
And how was that?
He played for the Texans. He was a monster, but he played for the Texans, so I can't give them no respect. You know?
Did you ever talk to anybody on defense?
All the time. Talk to them all the time. Yeah. Why wouldn't I? You know, I mean, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you a quick story about J.J. Watt. We played him, I forget what year it was, but one time we played him in Houston. I swear it was like we've tried to block him with seven people. He still got to the quarterback. And I was just like, dude, like, come on, bro. This is too much. Like, there's no way. There's no way this guy is just dominating all of us, right? And so we tried to block him with eight, and that didn't work either. So we just figured we'll just do one-on-one and take our chances with my guy, Blaine Gabbert, back there. He's got to scramble and get the ball out.
Blaine Gabbert is your quarterback.
And I get to see Blaine this week.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Look at the football life, man. I get to see my guy Blaine this week. Got him a Super Bowl. You know, I'm excited. Get to learn behind Tom Brady. You know, he gets to compete there in Tampa. I love it. This is what football is all about. It's about competing and still seeing the guys that you went to battle with every day, hanging out. Can't wait to take a picture with him and just say hello. I missed him.
How much of a factor can Derrick Henry be coming back from what he came back from, and then you dive right into a playoff game?
Oh, I mean, listen, I've always told people this about Derrick Henry. They always say, like, rate running backs. And they'll be like, why don't you ever talk about Derrick Henry? I was like, he's not a running back. He's a unicorn. You'll never see that again. You'll never see anyone 6'3", 250 pounds, that big, that fast, running the football. So, it's late. It's still late in the year, and he's had a couple weeks of practice, which he should be good to go. He may have a little rust early in the game. But this is the thing. If the Cincinnati Bengals don't stop his feet early, if you don't get him to, like, stutter his steps within the first couple yards of the line of scrimmage, you don't have a long day because he's just going to run downhill. That's all he's going to do is just keep running downhill, and by the time the game's over, he'll break a long one. I know his foot injury is a tough one, but – you know, with the way, you know, technology is and surgeries and guys, we saw Cam Akers just came back from Achilles in like 6 months. Like, he'll be fine. And to me, he's going to be a handful in the playoffs. He's going to be a handful. Not only he's going to be a handful, A.J. Brown will be a handful, and Julio's going to show up as well in a timely situation, I guarantee it. Because they don't need Julio, but he gives them that, like, you go on single, you're just going to cover Julio one-on-one. Okay. Well, he's going to get a jump ball here. So the addition of Derrick Henry in that running game is going to be something that teams are going to have to deal with, and Cincinnati's first up with it.
Will Tom Brady know your name if he sees you?
Come on. Come on, man. Are you kidding me? You don't think me and Tom, we're from the same area. We've talked. Okay. Tom knows me.
Okay. I'm just curious.
No, man. See, now, you know, see, you act as if I just, you know, I just call games on radio for the Rams, and then I work for the NFL Network as if we weren't peers, you know? There's a story, one time I was working at the NFL, they were playing the Giants, and Tom looked me in my eyes, and he said, Maurice, how have you been? And I looked at Tom like, hey, man, how you been? And you want to hear a funny story about it? You know, like, you want to know why Tom knows me more than anything? Tom's uncle, Chris, was my principal in high school. So Tom really knows me. Me and Tom are kind of like that. You know, we're kind of close. Closer than you would think.
No, you know,
we got family ties.
My apologies.
Okay. I'm just trying to make sure you know. And then all the football stuff, he going to know me regardless. But we got family ties. It's different.
By the way, what size is your neck?
I don't know, man. I'm trying to lose it, though. I think it was at one point it was like 18 and a half, 19. So I'm trying to get, you know, to regular size. What's a regular neck? What size is a regular neck?
Probably 15, 16.
Okay, so I'm going to try to get down there. I'm going to try to get, you know, I may even get skinnier than that. I may try to go to like a 12.
13, how do you lose weight in your neck?
Well, I think it's, you know, what you eat and doing a lot of neck exercises, possibly.
I think you go from traps to ears. You don't really have a neck.
Yeah, and I tell people this. I was bred for football, you know. Some people are bred for other things. Your boy, I was built. I was created in a lab, in my mother's lab, to play football.
What's your official height and weight?
Like right now or like when I played?
Playing weight.
Oh, I was like 5'7", 208. Between 208 and 215.
Oh, you seem to play bigger than that.
Again, like Derrick Henry, I was a unicorn. You know, you can't just put whoever's running backs, you know what I mean? I know what it's like to be a unicorn in the game.
All right, well, good luck. You know, I hope you and Tom get to renew old acquaintances there, and always great to hear from you.
always good to hear from you as well. I appreciate it. And, hey, go Rams.
Thank you. That's Mojo, Maurice Jones-Drew. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Mic check. Mic check.
If you want exclusive insight from the biggest names in the sports game, what's good? This is national champion and former pro baller Chris Johnson. And let me tell you a little bit about my new series, KJ Live.
KJ Live is the only show featuring me going one-on-one with the brightest basketball minds on the planet to get the real.
And when I say real, I mean that real. I got legendary Hall of Famers, elite coaches, and the top basketball insiders bringing you a unique perspective on all things hoops culture that you will not find anywhere else.
To make your next move your best move.
And tap in with me on KJ Live, wherever get your podcast from.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces. Like, there was the hat. There was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the... I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know what I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
He's TJ Watt, odds-on favorite for the Defensive Player of the Year, joining us on the program. Is it Trent Jordan Watt?
That's correct.
Okay. Who calls you Trent?
My fiance, both of my brothers, really close friends, and obviously my mom and dad as well. So select few.
All right. It's JJ, it's TJ, but then your brother goes by just Derek. Why isn't he DJ?
I think that was because DJ Tana in Full House was a girl, and he didn't like the DJ. And ever since he was young, he just always said, "Don't call me DJ." So we all just kind of took it as a threat, and nobody calls him DJ anymore.
When's the first time you beat up JJ?
I don't know if that's ever happened. I think Derek and I have definitely tried to gang up on him a couple times, but it's usually an attack, a flurry of punches, and then a run up the stairs, and then he grabs you by the ankle and then gives you a couple dead legs is how that ends.
Okay, wait, so you and your brother tag teamed and you still couldn't take JJ?
I mean, like I said, it was never he was so much older, so we never really had true altercations with him, but when we would like mess around with him, you'd like punch him and then go to run up the stairs and realize how strong and how much bigger he was. He just grabbed you by the ankle and gave you a couple dead legs and you do not have to do it again.
But is it like the Gronkowskis? Was it just chaos in the house where you guys were breaking stuff all over the place?
I mean, a little bit. We were always doing something. We lived in a cul-de-sac growing up, so we were always playing roller hockey. We had the mini hockey nets in the basement. We were in the backyard. We had connected the three backyards as football fields, and everybody was always over at our house. So it was definitely an active household.
Best athlete in the family is who?
Oh, me.
Oh.
Easily.
Because?
I just feel like, I mean, I have the state and the school record in shot put and discus. I mean, we all competed in that. So that's another one we can look towards.
Okay.
But Derek was by far the best high school football player I've ever seen. JJ arguably the best NFL football player I've ever seen. And I think we all kind of have things that we're really good at. But when we get in the weight room, I think when it comes to pure athleticism in the off season, I feel like I hold my own very well against those two.
Did you want to play in the NHL more than the NFL?
Oh, when we were younger, for sure. We grew up watching hockey, playing hockey from 3 years old, and always watching JJ and Derek play hockey always made me want to do it. And that's for sure. That was for sure the ultimate dream when we were younger.
What still hurts from the season?
That it's over. I mean,
no, body-wise.
Body-wise, I mean, I'm actually in good shape right now. I had the rib towards the back end of the season. It was super painful for a couple weeks there, but it actually feels a lot better today. And that's kind of what makes it actually more painful that we're not still going, because I still feel pretty good.
When did Ben tell you that he was retiring?
Never. I mean, that was just all through media. It was never a conversation that we had. Never addressed the team, and I just don't think he wanted to be a distraction or like a farewell tour type of thing. And I think he handled it well, and never really had a full conversation about it.
But he is retiring, right?
I mean, I don't know if that answer still to this day. I mean, I think it's a little open ended, but who knows?
Have you hit him in practice before?
No, I mean, I remember my rookie year, I bull rushed a tackle, and Ben, like, the tackle stepped on Ben's ankle and he went down, and it was like the quietest, like 20 seconds of my life. And everyone's just looking at me, and I didn't realize the magnitude of it all. But it was probably like last year he went down again, and I was like, man, that rookie is in big trouble.
Wouldn't you like to have played for another team just so you could have a shot at Ben?
It would have been tough to tackle him, man. You got to – I mean, if you go high, he can just shiver you off. If you go low, he can high step out of it. So they always say when you go against big quarterbacks like that, you have to tackle the football.
So you don't have a list there. There's no quarterback that I think that – you almost lost your computer there. What the hell is happening here? Is there a quarterback
– No, I don't.
Is there a quarterback you haven't sacked yet?
I mean, I'm sure there's a couple of them. It's not one of those things where I – think about going into a game, I need to sack this quarterback, I need to do this, I need to do that, this is the quarterback I'm looking forward to hitting. It's more about just trying to wreck games and provide as much splash, as we call it here in Pittsburgh, just game-changing plays to help my team win football games, because all that other stuff is kind of just a waste of time to think about, oh, I need to sack this guy, because then it takes away from the actual impact on the game.
How important is winning Defensive Player of the Year?
It's secondary. I mean, it's a nice award to get. I hate that it's an individual award, just because there's so much that goes into it. Like I said, just even the individual sack record is, I mean, so much has to happen. A good amount of those have to be just quarterbacks taking coverage sacks with guys in the back end, guys picking for me. And so many things have to fall into place for things like those to happen. So it's definitely a nice award to receive, but it's not an individual award for sure.
When did you find out you didn't have the sack record?
Halftime, I thought I had to, but then I checked my phone because our D-line coach is like, they're giving it to you, you have it. And then a couple other guys are like, no, you're not. So I checked my phone at halftime, which I never do. And then JJ and my brothers, the group chat was like, they only give you one, man. You got to go get another one. And tried like hell to get another one the second half, and they were running the ball a whole bunch, so it wasn't in the cards.
I love that you and your brother were breaking down each other's, like you were saying you're the quickest off the ball and you guys are kind of going back and forth. Like, how much competition is there between you two professionally?
Not a ton. I mean, not like outspokenly, I guess, but like, I mean, we want to see each other succeed. I think that falls for Derek too. It's more of being a helping hand than anything else. And I always like start, like, if he's ever going to give me a tip, he's like, and don't take this the wrong way. You know, like, if I give him a tip, I'm like, I'm not trying to be that guy, but you could try this. And he's like, hey, guy, like,
I love that.
I've been in the league a while too. You know, it's one of those things where like, we both are kind of set in our ways of how we like to do things, but we still are open to a certain criticisms from each other.
We're talking to T.J. Watt, who joins us on the program. How would you describe facing Patrick Mahomes?
Tough, man. It's a tough day at the office. I think he does a great job of getting the ball to all of his playmakers. I mean, there's so many playmakers over there. He's so elusive in the pocket. He knows where he can set deep in the pocket and step up. I mean, when he escapes, he can still throw the ball down the field, or he can run it. So it's definitely a full day job there. It's a tough task.
Who frustrates you the most of all the quarterbacks?
That's a good question, because, I mean, I think there's nothing more frustrating than a quarterback that gets the ball out in 2 seconds every single time, because you're not even given the chance there. So I'd say the quarterbacks that get it out super quick frustrate me the most.
Did you keep the football from your scoop and score?
Yes, I did. I don't know if it'll make the ultimate spotlight, because we lost the game. So, I mean, it'll probably just go for a ball to throw around the backyard or something.
Well, what's your trophy case look like?
I keep a bunch of balls. I don't have a trophy case. I don't know. Maybe in a couple of years when I'm done playing, I'll have a trophy case. But no sense in having a trophy case right now.
You care who wins the Super Bowl this year?
No, I mean, Cardinals are out. That was the last hope to see my brother be able to play. And when they lost last night, sadly, it doesn't really matter anymore.
Were you a Packers fan growing up?
Yes. Yeah, I was a Green Bay fan growing up. My grandpa was actually a huge Packer fan. He was the one that was always yelling at the TV. So I have those memories to hold on to. And was a Packers fan all the way until probably JJ got to the Texans and switched to hardcore Texan fan from there on.
Well, congrats on the season, and good luck with Defensive Player of the Year, and we appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.